I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Show. I'm your host, Lynn Pryor. James Johnson is our technical director. We're coming to you today from a 100-year-old house, former home of the Gilbert Theater, here in historic Haymont in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is show number 22. My guest today is Mary McGee.
Hello.
Mary, it's wonderful having you here. A native of New Jersey, Mary McGee studied at the Lee Strasberg Theater Institute in New York before taking up residence in Arizona. Mary has played countless roles on stage since then in shows such as Kiss Me Kate, Man from La Mancha. Most recently, Mary has continued her acting career in North Carolina, performing with the Gilbert Theater, Sweet Tea Shakespeare Company, and with Methodist University. She's also offered her talents as a teacher at the Gilbert Conservatory. Currently, Mary is playing a Marie Antoinette-inspired ghost in the Temple Theater's production of The Addams Family Musical, which ends its run in November 1st. Mary, wonderful having you. Now, I had hoped to see Addams Family last Thursday, but I had was a little bit under the weather, couldn't go. So I regret I haven't seen it yet. We have tickets for this Thursday. There's one more weekend.
Yes.
And but I have seen your picture on Facebook as Marie Antoinette. Now, how do you get through a door is my question. Your head gear looked to be about 2 feet tall.
I get some help. Stephen Harrington holds the curtain for me as I bend as far as I can to get the wig through the curtain. All of the wigs are made by Dino Leon, and they're amazing.
Well, okay. I can't. Now, Michu is trying to get your attention, our little dog. Mon petit chou, and bless your heart. Mary's picking up
Michu. Misses me.
Well, she really misses you, and she's all smiles right now. Little Michu, so like our famous cat, theater cat, a calico cat, now has gone to feline heaven. But her remains are in the garden under a stone, and we have a plaster cast of her that we're going to put on that stone very soon. But anyway, she was one that always tried to get on stage, our cat, TC. TC has not been that way, but now here she is in your lap, so good for you. We can't resist putting her on our laps. But anyway, back to our program here. Michu, now please behave yourself. All right, good. Well, the darling. Anyway, you're the darling. Holding her, what a picture. I wish I had a camera. Anyway, I can't wait to see your show. And Robin Parrish is in it.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Now, anybody else that our local people would know?
Oh, well, let me see. I'm trying to... Well, I don't...
Let me quickly look at it, darling.
This is it's a real ensemble. It's the Addams Family, and we really do feel like a spooky family. It's a dream come true with this wig, too. It's my Nina Hagen Madonna moment, like dream come true.
Well, the total costume, everything is marvelous. Oh, I see Bill Saunders, wonderful Bill, who's been around for so many years. He's having a wonderful career, traveling all over the country, but coming back here locally to do a play. He was with us last season
in
the book club. But I think that's the only other person who's graced our stage. But Mary, and so lots of laughs, and it is a musical.
Yes.
And do you do any singing?
I do. As an ancestor, we're part of the chorus, and there's more dancing for me personally than I'm used to. But if I'm to do a musical, this would be the musical for me. yeah, I have always loved the Addams Family, the TV show, and the cartoons, the movies. And I've seen the musical on a video. But, and I was kind of like, oh dear, no, because it's different. But I think I absorbed it. We've all absorbed it in a real Addams Family kind of way.
Yeah, right.
I think it's not easy to set it to music. And then, I don't know if James got to see it too. What do you think?
Well, my review's coming out soon.
I have trouble discussing shows and trying to avoid spoilers. But the way I could put it is, I wish that I could watch it. And I guess that's the best thing to say.
That's always the irony, is that people who are like on Broadway or have these long runs, and let's say I would just love to see it one day.
Okay.
This or that.
Yeah.
But Mary, I can't wait. It's very, very exciting. Now, Mary, we've just been listening to our wonderful theme song, Longing to Be on Old Broadway.
Yes.
And I just mentioned Broadway, and we frequently, it's in our thoughts. If you could be on Broadway, snap your fingers and be there doing anything, and costuming and acting, directing, whatever, what would you be doing?
Oh, goodness. Well, I've thought of this. It's just, I want to do everything that's not being done. But buy me shoe. I thought of like interesting collaborations of some people who I'm fond of. In high school, I went to musical theater camp at the Hart School of Music in Connecticut. It was called Theta, the Hart Ensemble for Theater Arts. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of kids got together and we wrote a musical and put it up by the end of the week, and it was really wonderful how it all came together. And I'm just trying to picture if there were some sort of creative collaboration between Petula Clark and Nina Hagen, or someone would say they're mismatched, but anyone who's a performer, they have a common knowingness of communicating with an audience, and uh-huh. I think a lot of people who you don't really normally see put together would just be wonderful, and I would run some kind of crazy theater with.
You would bring these people together. They would never come together unless it was your entity that you're thinking of.
Yes.
Bringing this one and that one.
Yes.
My goodness, how an exciting thought. Oh. Well,
and another thing I thought of, because I'm playing a ghost in this, and mm-hmm. if you'll remember in A Christmas Carol, I was the ghost of Christmas past, and mm-hmm. that was a dream come true too. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to have a theater that runs some kind of ghost version of every kind of popular play? I thought that would be really fantastic, except for the spooky minded folks.
Well, this is Halloween week. This is so appropriate, Mary. You're leaving me in the dust with your ideas. These are marvelous. Now, Mary, you see in front of you the famous red box.
Oh dear.
And in a moment, for veteran listeners to the Theater Story Show, know that in this box there's some something. And Mary's going to look in there in just a moment. We're being very truthful here. She does not know what's in there. She's going to take it out, and she's going to describe it very briefly. And then tell a story, either made up or true or a combination, that will just set us on the edge of our chairs. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, open that box.
Okay. Oh, dear. What have we got here? I have opened the box.
And it's not that piece of paper.
Oh, it's lovely. It's a small, what did you say?
Tile.
2.5 inches square, maybe. Tile, very thick, with a nice enamel design on it. It looks like
a thistle, perhaps.
A thistle, thank you. Okay, and this tile comes from Slovakia.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if any of you know this, but my mother is 100% Slovakian by way of Ohio. A lot of Eastern Europeans out there. My grandfather was a polka drummer, and if you've ever done the polka and you're a girl, your job is just to hang on, because whoever's leading is just throwing all around, just hang on. I remember polka dancing with my grandfather and also with my Uncle Jack. It's nice to be the girl, just hang on, and I don't know where the energy comes from, but if you see those little polka ladies, their legs are awesome.
Frequently not, the feet are frequently not on the floor.
Oh, right.
That's been my observation.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
Sorry.
So this tile, when my mom's family left Slovakia many generations ago, they didn't really bring anything with them, but someone in the family, they had a small ceramic shop, and this was made by a family member, so just a little heirloom to remember the family, and it's just passed down. It's nothing too crazy expensive, but it's beautiful, and it has meaning to our family, and when you pick it up, you just feel all the ancestors behind you.
Right. So. Oh, beautiful story, Mary. Thank you so much. I wish I could give it to you, but I'm not going to.
Oh, thank you. Well.
All right, Mary. Now here, I've moved this listener challenge up to this portion of our show because James Brown made me so. He said, you leave it until the last second, the second hour of our show, and who, for heaven's sakes, is still listening? And he said, this is why this has not been answered. But I'm going to do it now.
Okay.
I'm going to repeat one from last week, or was it the week before? Who is Eve Harrington? And I'm afraid, do you know who Eve Harrington is?
It sounds like an actress. I'm thinking of like All About Eve. But that's
you're absolutely right.
Is it?
You got it right.
I love that movie. Oh, okay, great.
Oh, well, okay. You get the. You get the. You get. You
yay.
Get. You, I have to. You're going to get two prizes.
So
you're
wow.
going to get two prizes tonight.
Great.
Yeah, well, Eve Harrington was this. Betty Davis played. This New York star.
I didn't Google it. I was going to. But I didn't.
But you didn't. Like, anyway, you did it. You just got it from your memory.
Okay.
Anyway, Eve Harrington was this actress who just attached herself to the big star and gradually took over her career, career and her husband and everyone. So Eve Harrington is someone not to be trusted.
I love that movie.
Well,
what's
you,
funny is I Googled that, and I was like, oh, nobody's going to get this. And look, she
just because... and this will make up for how I will do on the quiz later.
Well, okay, all right. Then you'll get one gift at least.
Thank you.
All right, Mary, you're delightful. Now, here's the new name for the new listener challenge. It's always going to be a person. Who is George Peel? And if you look that up, I'm going to be very unhappy, James. I have to call your mother if you look that up. I can't believe, even with today's technology, that the answer would be at your fingertips. But I still don't do it. And I'm feeling suddenly this whole listener challenge thing where I pictured people poring over books, calling neighbors, sitting down and 30 seconds later having the answer. If I were to find out that was the way they got it, I think I would think twice before sending on the fabulous gift. But I'm not, anyway.
Okay, so I'm strike. Not allowed to try to answer.
Do you know who it is?
Well, my first thought was Norman Vincent Peale. And then I was thinking, for some reason in my head, I was thinking, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? But I don't know.
Oh,
but that's nothing.
No, you're wrong.
Totally
and
wrong.
Wrong.
I don't know why.
You're totally wrong. So anyway, we're leaving that to our listeners. you've already taken one of them this evening. All right, Mary, let's talk
the
about...
Right
you.
Feel a comedian.
Let's talk about... what?
The answer is available online, but nobody look that up.
Don't look at...
All right.
Okay.
Oh, this part of the show is falling apart. Well, so what's new, Mary? Mary, I'm so fascinated by your background here. Lee Strasberg Theater Institute. Tell us about that.
Oh, it was wonderful. Okay. Well, my two main teachers were Mauricio Bustamante and Deborah Wiley. And I did two sessions, which came to 6 months, And it was...
How do you mean two sessions, 6 months?
Well, they have sessions that are like about 3 months at a time. And
what can possibly go on for that long? Tell us.
Oh, yes. Well, I think they recommend that you stay for a few years, but everyone's different. Some people don't get it right away, and some people do, or you know, everyone's interpretation is different. I felt like I really used it because I didn't do theater for a while. I think about 12 years between plays before I did Sherlock Holmes, The Sleeping Detective, written by our local James Dean,
right,
who played Sherlock Holmes. I used the things that I learned in school because if you're not doing theater for 12 years and you're not pretending to be someone for the longest time, you're really just becoming yourself and just saying, I don't want to be anything else but me, then you kind of have to pull it in and be like, no, wait, okay, this is what I need to do. Your brain starts making connections again, but it brought me back to things that I forgot because you have all of your memories stored in your spine and you have to, you learn to make yourself relax. Because if you know me, I'm a little bit like all the time, but I can make myself relax. Yeah. But anyhow, Steve Buscemi, because Steve Buscemi was a Strasbourg, Lee Strasbourg Theater Institute student. And he, well, I was wondering after 6 months, should I stay? Should I go? And some people should stay longer. Some people, you know, it's up to the individual. But he was giving a talk about one of his films in Rhinebeck, New York. There's a little theater up there. They have people come and discuss their movies. And I thought, I'm going to ask him because he went to my school. What does he think I should do? I felt in my spirit that maybe it was time to go. I learned something. I wanted to take it to the streets, you know. But and before I could even finish asking the question, he told me, he said that you really learn by doing, and it's true, you really do. It took me a couple of shows to incorporate what I learned too, because when you're on stage versus like on film, it's a different kind of energy.
Uh-huh.
And you have to put out a lot of energy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, working through. But it's life and channels and paths. But I learned a lot in a brief time from Mauricio and Deborah.
So it's not, same 3 months for each one. Is that what you said?
I did 6 months with both of them.
Both of them. And so you do lots and lots of scene work.
Oh, well, it's the Lee Strasberg technique is learning about relaxation and then opening up. All of your memories are right there. If you can, I can tell when I'm watching someone on stage if there's tension in an eyebrow, like if there's tension anywhere in their body. And also, I mean, when you're doing heavy duty things that you think are very tense, you need to be very relaxed inside for it to come out and not blow out your vocal cords or any of that. So, but one, let me try to think. One thing, Mauricio, we were doing this scene from The Wool Gatherer, and I was supposed to be this kind of crazy psycho girlfriend, and I could do that really well, right? Like, scary, you know? But Mauricio, he told me to try to be more likable, and I know some people go, I don't know about that. But the truth is, you want your audience to still care about what you're doing, to still watch you. I mean, if you're a little bit too repulsive, they're gonna, you don't be too scary. So that was an interesting, it's not just about the reality of the person, it's about communicating the reality of that character to an audience. It's kind of, you know, there's that, and also about being funny. I had a lesson about being funny, but I still want to work through that more. I want to find Mauricio. Hello, Mauricio. I'm coming to your house. I don't know. I feel like we're running out of time.
Well, Mary, what a fabulous 6 months! 6 months for you. No, I empirically, I don't know that I ever was taught or told about this relaxation, the importance of it. But empirically, I arrived at that through these last 20 years mainly, just watching the people, the dozens and dozens of actors and actresses who've come through the Gilbert. Wonderful people, but it's like in any other art or science or whatever you want to say, there are people that just rise to the top. And those three or four that I'm thinking of, they've had the one thing in common, deeply in common, was the being relaxed on stage, and then you build the character, whatever, on that. So I'm so glad to hear about that.
Yes.
At that school. So well, so there you are. Then so you go from Lee Strasberg to Arizona. What did you do there? No theater?
I got into belly dance. Well, first I had a job at the Grand Canyon, and I was a waitress there, and I was a really good waitress too. It was performing every day for people on vacation.
So what did you do for your performing?
Well, getting their food and...
I see.
You know, when people are on vacation, they get pretty tense about every dime they're spending. Sometimes you get someone in there and they just, you know, they want to make the sunset. They got to get to this hotel or, you know, and they're thinking of, I don't want to buy this because I, you know, but I'm banging on the table. I know about that. Right. Okay. But I felt it was my duty. If someone came in grumpy, that I was going to turn them around.
Yeah.
And that's a long story.
A wonderful story. Just the simple telling of it.
Yeah.
That is a marvelous quality in anyone's personality, Mary.
Then belly dance and burlesque came after in Tempe, Arizona.
I see.
Yeah.
So belly dance.
Yes.
That's very relaxed dance. It's seemingly very relaxed.
It's
intense.
Well, it gave me a lot of body awareness that I hadn't had before. I never took up sports in school. I started dancing when I was 35, and I did 8 months straight with 15 hours plus a week because they had an unlimited class card, and I was starting to get somewhere in 8 months. It was just so fun. Just the group of women and men too, that you're surrounded by. And in Arizona, there's a wonderful community just to push you to go further in a fun way, and the belly dance community, just the dance community, burlesque too, it branches out all over the world too, so it's easy to keep in touch with everyone with Facebook.
Movement on stage is part of our
I used belly dance as the ghost of Christmas past.
Yes,
I did.
So nothing is lost. Yeah, Mary, you're amazing. right now you were in been several things at the Gilbert. Now down in Temple, the wonderful Peggy Taphorn doing such great things down there. We wouldn't miss a play.
In this show, Adam's Family, I do use belly dance, and I took flamenco class, and I do a little bit of flamenco fingers. There, everything that you ever take, you can use it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's the external things, the relaxation, the external things, but then the internal world is what we, the meat and potatoes of our craft.
When you see a Mary show, there's a lot of wrists. There's a lot of wrists.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Mary, are you what's up for you next at the Gilbert? What the rest of the season?
Ooh, we're doing It's a Wonderful Life coming up next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to be Aunt Tilly, and I will be the wife of Nathan Pierce's Uncle Billy.
Mm-hmm.
I will be Ken Griggs's aunt.
You're in good company with those guys.
Yes,
that's for sure. Nathan was at
the Gilbert is my home. So grateful to you and to Robin and all of my handlers, because we've got Sheila and Meg and Maria Forte used to be one of my handlers. They're the people who helped me my scrambled brain, and they're like, you know, you forgot your leftovers in the refrigerator, you know. It's important, all those little details.
Absolutely.
I don't want to step on anybody's toes.
Anybody that's there and working there, front of the house, back of the house, on stage, everyone is does
we're
this,
a community
does
ensemble.
This part. It is. You know what I've said from day one? The Gilbert, the process is as important as the product.
Oh, yes.
And we've all been in plays and companies where things were just vicious, could be terrible during all the rehearsal time and so on.
Oh, yes.
But then the play would end up being wonderful, but the audience would never guess what we've been put through.
Right.
And so I was determined that what you're describing be the case. And to my knowledge, that has been the case for 120 plays, 22 years. Well, we're ready for your monologue. And you are, okay, in the spirit of the season, Halloween on Saturday.
Yes.
And you are pulling out something by the dear Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes.
Well, I played Edgar Allan Poe over the weekend,
yes,
at the Poe House. He was not the Edgar Allan Poe, but he was he owned a brickyard. And I was a very androgynous Mr. Poe. He's probably spinning in his grave.
Wonderful.
At this time. But anyway,
they say once you're in the spirit world, you are androgynous.
Right. Well, I'm glad that I don't have to wait until then.
Yes.
And so, Mary, what do you have?
Okay, are you doing that again this weekend?
No, it's over. We could be brought back by popular demand, I okay. think. But it's not going to happen.
Okay.
I think for Halloween, Lynn needs to go as David Bowie. I feel there's a very David Bowie-esque
yes.
quality about him.
Well, if anyone mistakes me for a celebrated person, it's David Bowie. For years, a group of teenagers. Is this the first time you've thought that?
Yeah, it just occurred to me. I was like,
oh. Well, no, David, if you're listening to this there in England, on the West End, wherever you are, and you need a stand-in, I'm available. But I've had teenagers walking down the street, right down on Hay Street, and two or three of them pointed and said, David Bowie, David Bowie. I said, yeah, all right, yes, but unfortunately, I don't have his...
And at my theater on Broadway, I would put you in a show with David Bowie.
All right,
yeah.
It's a deal, I'll be there.
And I would put Andy Biersack from Black Veil Brides in a play with Rick Springfield. It's true.
So, your enterprise up there, as I think, is going to get all kinds of people volunteering to be, take part, so be prepared. So you have Poe's poem called...
Spirits of the Dead.
Spirits of the Dead.
Spirits of the Dead.
We are ready.
Okay, I might not be very loud, but you can hear me all right. Sorry, I've got the sniffles. Okay. Spirits of the Dead by Edgar Allan Poe. Thy soul shall find itself alone mid dark thoughts of the gray tombstone. Not one of all the crowd to pry into thine hour of secrecy. Be silent in that solitude, which is not loneliness, for then the spirits of the dead who stood in life before thee are again in death around thee, and their will shall overshadow thee. Be still. The night, though clear, shall frown, and the stars shall not look down from their high thrones in the heaven with light like hope to mortals given. But their red orbs, without beam, to thy weariness shall seem as a burning and a fever, which would cling to thee forever. Now our thoughts thou shalt not banish. Now our visions ne'er to vanish. From thy spirit shall they pass no more, like dewdrop from the grass. The breeze, the breath of God, is still, and the mist upon the hill, shadowy, shadowy, yet unbroken, is a symbol and a token. How it hangs upon the trees, a mystery of mysteries.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mary. Perfect. What a poet he was. Short-lived life, but a rich life, I suppose, full of torments. But we certainly love his work. Well, time for Free for All.
Okay.
And our topic today, this is where James and you and I just jump in and talk about something.
Okay.
And the topic is Supposing a play seems dull or static, is it always the actor's fault? Is it true or false? But let's just explore that. If a play, if sometimes you'll go to a play, or you'll talk with somebody and say, "Oh, you know, I found it so boring, and it was it was so little variety and all." Is it always the actor's fault? What would you say, James?
No, I don't think it would always be the actor's fault. It's sometimes the director, sometimes the script is just terribly dull. Perhaps it's a combination. It can be a combination of the two. The actor could have an idea of how to make this more interesting for the audience, but maybe the director says, "Yeah, I don't like that idea. I want you to just do this completely monotone." And there are many factors.
Many factors
in any show. It's I don't think one person can make a show terrible all by themselves. So there needs to be it's all collaborative.
Mary, what do you think?
This is a really good question. This also falls into the differences between a live show and a recorded show. So I'm scared to death right now, but as doing my job, I learned in college. Well, I went to Seton Hall University as well, and Deirdre Yates, a wonderful teacher there, professor of course, she pointed out to me that we were doing a show. Okay, I try to not have names, right? It was going really well. And then all of a sudden, there are all these things happening, but we were getting through them and still blazing fire. But something happened with one of the actors, the way that he was, the connection was lost. There was a connection and then it disappeared. And I was complaining about that. And I was a young actor at the time. Actress. I prefer actress.
I do too. I'll go to my graves calling women actresses.
Yes. Yeah. French, please. she said to me, you control what you do. I've heard that before, later in other things too, where you cannot control what other people do, but you have a lot of power in what you can do. And if you don't find a connection to a part or something, that's when I get a little bit obsessive of like, okay, I'm going to make a connection. I'm going to find the connection. And there's this least common denominator of humanity, even from the person who wrote that, however it was that they came up with it, it came from somewhere. I'm a firm believer in like, we don't like what we don't understand. Of course, a lot of people don't have time to try to understand everything in the world, and you can go crazy trying to, world peace and figure everything out. But I really believe if you can find the connections that are lacking, you can make those connections with the inflections in your voice, with all sorts of things. And when a director tells you what to do, often in the job itself, you're worried, will I get hired again, or all these sorts of things. But in the end, it's how you feel, how you did. And there's so many people in the world. If it doesn't work out there, you just go somewhere else. But now with a recording thing, I did a commercial once. I don't want to give too many details about that too. But I was doing the voiceover for it. And I thought to myself, I didn't really like the voiceovers I'd heard before. And I thought to myself, I'm going to do this right. But with his direction, he said, say the word this way, say the word this way, say the word this way. And by the 11th take in my mind, I thought, ooh, that sounds like all those commercials that he did before. And I thought to myself, ooh, I want to do that again. And he said, that's it. That's the one we're going to use. So in that case, and it's recorded and it's taken under someone else's control, I still am proud of that commercial. I think it's pretty good it's fun. It's cute.
Oh, wonderful. So James saying it's collaboration, of course. But I think if the play, I've seen plays that should never, they weren't ready.
Right.
That plays that should not have been seen the light, and maybe they would never be ready, but somehow they get chosen, put into season, And act, you're going to have really the finest people on stage, and they will be doing their absolute best. And
time
but,
is a
but,
factor.
But frequently, so. Frequently, they even they can't save the evening.
Yeah.
But
we do our best.
But fortunately, this hasn't been very rare at the Gilbert. I know that. Well, thank you for those great thoughts. Now I think it's time to turn this whole thing over to Saint Genesius.
Yes.
Asking for his guidance. We've been offering our opinion, but he is a saint after all.
And so I am a recovering Catholic, so I feel this deeply.
And you looked him up for us one night and said he was 4th century. And well, so he is to be appreciated and revered and sought after. Dear Saint Genesius, we theater folk have all, in one way or another, found ourselves in a play that, once open, seems dull and static. Who's to blame is the question. The director, other actors, the artistic director, the artistic director who, because, of course, chose this turkey. Do you agree with me when I make the following suggestions? Now, this may possibly be the time, or this is definitely the time, to start distancing yourself from the whole sorry mess. Suggestion number one. Frequently say something like, I'm only in this play as a favor to X, Y, or Z. Two, well-placed calls to critics before the notices come out, expressing your concern that the company is on its last legs. Number three, in a joking way, say that you can't find anyone to take your comps. Number four, find things in a helpful tone to underscore the director's inexperience and incompetence. Number five, cap it all off with a restrained curtain call, one that falls just short of holding your nose. Dear St. Jim, we're always eagerly awaiting your guidance on this matter. So I think that's kind of the final word of, you know, if you find yourself in that situation, there are some ideas so that you come out of it maybe not a very nice person, but you're protecting yourself. That's what it's all about.
I thought about this before, also, that when you do run into those situations, I do find that I will pray. So thank you, Saint Genesius. I do,
And I'm sure your prayer is of a better quality than mine seems to be in late recent weeks. Come to our quiz. Mary, it's all about the Alice in Wonderland. This is a famous children's book. Lewis Carroll Dodgson, the mathematician, wrote it all those years ago. And, you know, Queen Victoria loved Alice. She loved Through the Looking Glass. And she said to Mr. Dodgson, Professor Dodgson, she said, oh, please, won't you just be sure to give me your next book. I just can't wait to read it. Well, he was a mathematician, so his next book was on logarithms, and he handed it to the Queen. I don't know if she appreciated that enough. Anyway, now our quiz is Alice in Wonderland, the Mad Tea Party.
Oh, dear.
Now, your gift is a fabulous one. I was very reluctant to give this book up, but I'm going to. It's Tales from Shakespeare by Charles and Mary Lamb.
Ooh.
Now, this is where... It's an early Cliff Notes kind of thing.
Oh, great.
Only it's very literary.
I love it.
And most of, you know, his 37 or 8 plays are in here, are in shortened form. Not all of them, but I think maybe 20 or so. And they're wonderful illustrations, pre-Raphaelite kind of illustrations.
Oh.
And this is your book. It's not a first edition, but It's a wonderful addition.
I'm
asking you this question, Mary.
Oh, dear.
And about the Mad Tea Party.
Okay.
Who was in attendance at the tea party?
Everyone was there?
The four people. Who were the four people in attendance at the Mad Tea Party?
Alice.
Alice, good.
The Mad Hatter.
Mad Hatter, too.
Cheshire Cat?
No.
No. Okay.
But keep going.
Keep going. This shows, you know, there's a line in Adam's Family about being homeschooled. No excuse. I watched a lot of Different Strokes and The Facts of Life.
There was somebody else. There was somebody else who was a milliner.
The milliner's daughter. That's the miller's daughter. That's totally different.
That's the Canterbury Tale.
Okay. There's a caterpillar. What's the caterpillar? Is there a snail? Is there a mushroom?
You're just naming all the characters?
Yeah, where's Google?
Well, you have two of them.
Isn't there a...
The
someone in a cup?
Cup of tea?
Remember, they had to keep changing positions, so people kept getting a dirty setting. Okay. But it was the Mad Hatter.
Okay.
Remember, you know, and the Dormouse.
The Dormouse.
Uh-huh. But you got. Okay. But you had to get half of them right in order to get the prize that you did.
Oh, great! Thank you. Is that the end of the quiz?
That's the end of the quiz. You can relax. I'm telling you. I put my guests will never come back. That's for sure. But the Mad Hatter, I just was reminded that the glue or something that the Hatters used in those days to make their top hats and all was very harmful to the system. It had lead in it or something, and they would go mad. And that's why it was called the Mad Hatter. Then the Dormouse was the fourth person. Very, very good.
I embrace failure, just so you know.
Well, it's a good thing to learn for all of us. Well, quote, memorable quotes of the week. I was listening to Diane Rehm the other day on PBS, and she had Judy Collins on. Ooh. Our wonderful Judy Collins, who's been around for so many years, sang again, and just that same voice is holding up so beautifully. And she talked about the four things that she brings into play when she starts learning a song. And I think these four are so applicable to for actors and actresses starting a new play. Intention?
Yes.
What is your intention as far as bringing this character alive?
Yes.
Meaning of the lines? You know, there's the words themselves, and there's what the meaning beneath the words.
Yes.
You know, people, we've seen theater is filled with characters espousing things that they don't really mean.
Oh, yes.
And there's some something beneath it.
Wow.
Then phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
And finally clarity. Now I do love the Sweet Tea Shakespeare plays. I wouldn't miss a one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've enjoyed them so much since they started, and Jeremy Fiebig and his troupe, or so many Gilbert people and so on, are doing such a marvelous job. But my one note to them has been, and I spoke to Jeremy about this, is clarity. They're in costume, they're moving, they're doing this, they're doing that, and they're learning the lines, and yet I can't understand what they're saying. Occasionally you'll catch few words to know what's going on.
Yes.
And so that's something that we all need to work on,
yes,
and particularly in Shakespeare.
Yeah. I have an example in my mind from what you're talking about. That.
Oh, like what?
Well, in Taming of the Shrew, I was mentioning this to James earlier, that I am afraid how women are so simple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those like, oh, I read all about Shakespeare and this is how you should do it or any of that. And I think Shakespeare himself was kind of this is just... like a cool, fun guy, you know.
Well,
I don't think he like pretentiousness around it at all. But I did Kiss Me, Kate in high school, and in high school you have time to really think about, you know, your little bit of lines there.
Yeah.
And the I'm afraid how women are so simple. It's after Kate's been tamed, and in high school I just remember the layers of that because she's saying, I am ashamed how women are so simple, but she doesn't really mean that. There's a lot.
So
Keeps him so fun.
So any one line, depending on the background, depending on the scene, on everything. But then projection, you know, you're projecting, people are hearing you at the edges of the group and so on. But are they understanding all these words? So this is something that we all need to work on. Right, that's our memorable quote of the year, of the week. Now we come to turning the tables. This is where you get to ask me anything you want. The last week, James had the nerve to ask me about my hair, and I was—I had just finished saying anything, anything, anything—and then he chose the very thing that I was very sensitive about.
It's a very complimentary question.
And then I realized that it was a compliment, and so I answered it. I'm sorry about that.
Look like David Bowie.
Well, and he's redeemed himself 100% this time. And I didn't answer it, and I promise never again to really get after people and their questions. Having said that, Mary, do you have a question in mind?
Goodness, a question in mind. Okay, here's the question. Can I live with you? Just kidding. No, that's a question, really. No, no, it's okay.
I wish we had a bigger house.
I know, yeah. No. Yeah, I love Mishu. She's my, oh my goodness.
And she loves you.
No, my parents are pretty awesome too. Yeah, some of you know. They're great. So
the answer is yes, if we had the room.
Thank you. Oh, that's great. Okay. I want to think of a better question.
Well, James is going to ask me one.
Okay.
Look at that look on his face. Is it going to be another zinger?
I don't think the previous questions have been zingers.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was very, they were kind questions. So the last one, I believe, was asking whether or not you had ever been in a fist fight.
Oh, and that's, and I answered that by telling that long, way over our sponsor's allotment of time. But I answered that, yes. Do you have another question?
Yes. I'm curious as to... she has a question.
No,
please.
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
I didn't really have a question. So right, sincere question.
Okay. I respect your view on performances, and I was just wondering what tips, anything specifically... or thoughts on my performances that you might have for me, because I'm open to like whatever you might offer.
All I can say is just to keep being you. You are a fine actress. You are one who is knows about intention. You know about phrasing. You know about all the things we've been talking about. So I have no advice except to say just keep going.
Thank you so much.
You're
okay,
welcome.
That means a lot to me.
Okay, so I'm curious, with the letters to Saint Genesius, is there any plan at some point compiling these in a book that we can...
Well, you had brought that up some time ago, and the plan is yes. Am I ever going to make a dime out of my time in Fayetteville? You know, I didn't have a salary for the 20 years, and it was all my choice. The money was needed elsewhere, but the irony of this, I had that minuscule little part at the Poe House, playing Edgar Allan Poe, Fayetteville's version, the bricklayer, but I'm being paid for that. So I am finally getting some money out of this everything, there it is. And your question was?
The question was whether or not you would be publishing this.
And the St. Genesius. So, yes, I shall, when we're at the end of our time, months from now, I'll put them all together and we'll call it Letters from St. G.
Cool.
There it is. All right, good.
I love those letters.
All right, I see that Jason... Our wonderful Jason Wetzel has arrived. He and I are going to be talking, Mary, about the history of the Gilbert a little bit later.
Hello, Jason.
Now, superstitions. And Jason is
that noise is Mishu, not Jason.
Jason is kissing Mishu. No, we're kissing Mary. And Jason and Mishu is overcome. Maybe she'll let her go and she'll go see Jason. She's sitting on your lap. I think that's it. All right, Jane, we're going to be running over our allotted time by the cloud people or whatever. Any superstitions? And I have one. Blue should never be worn on stage. It's bad luck. Why? Unless there is some silver. And blue, no costume with blue on it. Unless there's some silver on it, that neutralizes the danger to the production. This happened because blue was a very expensive dye to get, and most companies could not afford it. Some companies would spend the money they really didn't have for the blue fabric to fool the backers, perhaps. And anyway, anyway, that's my superstition. No blue on stage. Now, Mary, I think, why don't we, it's time for book sharing. And you want to share that?
Did my superstition.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you have one. I'm sorry. What is it?
I try to respect other people's superstitions because if anything bad happens, I don't want to be on me.
All right. There is a very good.
I feel like I always call upon my ancestors to help me through, or if there are any helpful theater spirits out there, and I call upon Archangel Gabriel for communicating message. So, because my whole deal is, I just want them to leave feeling better about whatever, even if it's I need extra help, and I call in any kind of help I can get.
Well, there's a very marvelous practice.
Jesus too.
Practice it is. Now, Mary, books. I hear you have a book to share.
I do.
And I want to hand that off to Jace.
Okay,
that, as little Mishu handing to Jason. Jason's going to hold
there
her.
There we go. Okay.
Good. Mishu has been such a presence in tonight's broadcast.
Yes. She's
been very vocal.
Okay. Well, Freeing the Natural Voice by Kristen Linklater.
She's famous, and she's everybody who studies voice reads her stuff. So do tell us about this.
Okay. I got this book in college, and I'm a random page person. Like, I haven't read it beginning to end. I just kind of open to a random page, and I go, oh, yeah, that's right. Or, you know, vocal exercises, little warm-up things. Usually I'm lazy about them, but then if I don't have one at the ready, I go, you know, I wish I had one. And I ask every singer what their things are to get them warmed up. But I've had a lot of troubles. You know, you have troubles with your voice with allergies and colds. But you have to listen to yourself, listen to your own body, what you think works for you. Because sometimes people will tell you, oh, you're doing great, don't worry. But if something inside of you, you feel like, no, I think I'm hurting myself.
Yeah.
You very well may be. And always take a step back. Give yourself that moment to...
Yes.
But there's an exercise, the Hango. That was from my teacher. I don't know if that's in this book. But Bill Sempier, many years ago, rest his soul. I call upon him before shows, too. He taught me to say Hango and get the note in the NG. And when it's very comfortably placed, let it go. And that helps with your range all the way through the break. You can go really low, really high.
Yeah.
That's a great exercise. Isola Jones, another one of my teachers, wonderful breathing exercise too. I have a lot of volume I learned from her. They always talk about using the diaphragm. And so many people think, oh, the diaphragm. Then they tense up and then they're actually not naturally breathing. She she's told me just fill up and sit on it, and it's hard to explain on the radio, and I know we're short on time, but my main thing is listen to your own body and take dance classes. Doesn't matter how old you are, if anything that'll give you more body awareness. Your body is so helpful to you. I can't even say, you know, okay.
Well, and then what exercise does for the lungs and for breathing, of course. Again, the title is?
Oh, Freeing the Natural Voice by Kristen Linklater.
Thank you. I'm glad that someone's finally brought one of her books here. Thank you, Mary. That was great. Maybe it's just as well. Now we come to 60 Minutes. This is where I'm picking up my stopwatch. You have 60 seconds to change the world of theater in Cumberland County.
Okay. Now it was starting.
We're going to start in just a second.
Okay.
And are you ready?
I think so. All right. Just some ideas. Okay.
All right, go.
Okay. We have so much theater in Cumberland County. I'm very grateful to be here. Lots of creative people writing things. I know that whenever I want to look up and see what's playing, I wish that there was an easy way to find it. I know that there are websites that say, here's the calendar and here are some things, but it's never really very clear. I think we should have a website that offers anyone can post something to that day. What's going on, and I think it would be really cool if we had some kind of dinner theater, like participation based kind of free opening kind of.
And wonderful ideas.
Improv. We need to bring improv back. That would be great, and a burlesque company would be really cool.
Are ready to dance in 60 seconds.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh.
Okay. Oh, Mary. Anyway, no, those are wonderful ideas. And the having the call board, something that would...
And a live radio show. That's another one. With stories, with a teleplays.
That's
cool.
Being recorded. So, the Gilbert had a live radio show.
Did we?
Yeah. for a year or two. James, were you part of that? Were you?
Yeah, I participated.
Of course you were. Yeah.
I was late for one.
Well, no, then that's time or two I had to pitch in, but we had to do things that were public domain.
Oh, I see.
Thank you, Mary, for those good ideas. Now, birthdays.
Oh, yes.
We have some celebrated birthdays. Mm-hmm. Kevin Klein was born on this day in 1947.
Uh-huh.
F. Murray Abraham was born on this day in 1939. Moss Hart, 1904. Ruby D, 1924, and Annette Febre was born on this day 95 years ago. She's 95 today. She was born in 1920, and we all loved her in those Hollywood MGM musicals and was aware of her. I never saw her on Broadway, but aware of her work, and so I'm glad to see that she's still with us, and perhaps she's even listening. Now, James Colborne, we know that... we have Temple Theater.
We have.
Adams family is coming to an. Did you have more birthdays you wanted to point out?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, more birthdays.
Okay. We have in the Adams family right now, it's interesting. We have a lot of Scorpios. we've got Levi Squire. He plays Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
He is Wednesday's intended. He just had a birthday on the 26th. Megan are over at Gilbert, her birthday, Megan Redding.
Happy birthday, Megan.
Happy birthday, Megan, the 27th. On the 29th, we have Leanne Valcarcel.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Leanne.
Happy birthday.
She's the music director for Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. And then we have at the Temple Theater, there's Jane Hartman. She's got a birthday on the 30th. She's a board member over there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We've got Julie Lacey Harrison.
Oh, that's right. Hers, yes.
She's a Halloween baby.
Happy birthday, Julie.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Halloween.
Yes, and Greta Marie Zanstra. She is the director of Adam's Family over in Temple Theater, and she's also a Halloween baby.
My gosh.
Yeah, and my folks met on Halloween many years ago in Kent, Ohio, at a bar.
Well, Kent State, it's a wonderful school. I had
and they gave birth to a ghost.
A friend who went there. Thank you, Mary. I'm so glad that you gathered all those birthdays.
Happy anniversary, folks.
Yeah, happy to your parents, absolutely. So we have anything else besides Temple?
Well, besides Temple, which, you know, that closes November 1st, Adam's Family, the regional theaters, Guess Who's Coming for Dinner, is opening on October 29th, which, you know.
Which is Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, it's coming right up.
Yeah.
That will be continue running. And unfortunately, I don't know how long it's running.
Well, 3 weeks.
Oh, it's running till November 15th. So.
Yeah. Excellent.
So. There's also FTCC, Fayetteville Tech, will be having 9 to 5.
That's right.
They're in rehearsal right now. And I know Joyce, she was in Nonsense. I know she's in that.
Yes.
I think Taylor Kraft is in it, she said.
Our wonderful Taylor.
And the tickets for that are free. So
it's always free there at Cumberland Hall. I don't miss a show there either.
Yeah.
Did you say Joyce was in that?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, from Nonsense. That's Joyce Borum.
Oh, okay. That Joyce.
Yeah.
That Joyce. well, yeah, we're looking forward to seeing that.
Okay.
That's a delightful show, isn't it? And I just met the man who's playing the mean boss.
Oh, who's playing?
Well, I can't remember. I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember who it was. Anyway, Mary, thank you so much.
Okay.
You've been a delightful guest. This is Lynn Pryor asking James to dim the lights and go to black. Well, I urge you all to find a play to see this week.
Okay.
So until next Thursday, thanks for your company. Now, Mary, our show has ended, but I always have this P.S., this pod script.
Yes.
A question I ask all my guests. Do you know what the universal question is?
I would like to hope that in some alternate universe I do, but I try to tap into all those planes of existence, and I still do not know.
Mary does not know. Well, Mary,
you
have a lot of company. I'm the only one, I guess, who does know.
Yes.
And I'm going to be revealing that one day before things get even worse around this planet. I might be criticized for my timing, but my timing has tended to be, don't let this podcast influence you. But on stage, I'm pretty good with timing.
Yes.
And in life in general.
Yes.
Thanks, Mary. Good night.
Yes, thank you so much.
For I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys are.